Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey folks, it's Thursday. You know what that means. It means it's time to ignite the dynamite. The day after the dynamite. And welcome to another edition of Day After Dynamite. This is episode 46. Can't believe I've done 46 of these already. This is one of those shows that it was literally just an idea I had a year ago. And here we are, like 4 weeks away, because I think I've only taken 2 weeks off. I think we're 4 weeks away from this being 1 year of this show. But welcome to Day After Dynamite. I'm Will Washington. I'm usually not alone here on this show. I've really only done two by myself. You usually find somebody next to me on this show. And today, my guest is somebody that I've wanted to have on this show for a while. I've actually already had her on Grapsody. But one-on-one time, you get to talk more. You've known her from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. You know her from Busted Open. She is the one and only Candace Cordelia. Candace.
Hello. I feel like I should have a foghorn for that. Like, I need a foghorn.
Good to have you here, though. I'm glad you're here.
Me too. Thank you so much. Like, this is such a treat and a great way to finish out a really hectic and emotional week. So thank you.
Yeah, this was a much heavier week. Last week was a heavy week, too. I think this one is turning out to be a way heavier week than I thought it was going to be. We walked into the week kind of having certain expectations for what Dynamite was going to be. And then those expectations really flipped on their head on Tuesday. And we learned some new things about what Dynamite was going to be this week. And this turned out to be a really, really emotional episode of the show that we're going to be talking about here and some of the news coming out of it. I will say that I personally have a much lighter day than I did last week, because last week was the Fightful Awards. And so I did 7 straight hours of podcasting. I did this show, followed by Ask Grapsody, followed by the Fightful Awards. I really tried to space those apart. And watch me bring this back around. I really tried to space those apart because, I knew I was going to have podcasts stacked. And the original date, of course, for the Fightful Awards, it ended up airing January 19th, but the original date was supposed to be January 12th. But it turned out that somebody else dropped some awards on January 12th. And so it wouldn't have really made sense for us to stack ours on a day when somebody else had put those out. Do you know who that somebody else was, Candace?
I'm just going to put this right here. I just got this. The other day, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? And shout out to PWI. I am PWI's PR at this rate. And thank you. Thank you for, putting us in your thoughts. And you guys could have dropped it if you wanted to. That would have probably been a really explosive day. But it most likely would have been even more interesting to see the contrast between the Fightful Awards and the PWI Awards and what the fans voted for. But on our side, this year was very interesting seeing the results. It was a complete drastic change from this year versus last year, where AEW basically swept most of the categories. And this year, it's just evenly split between AEW and WWE. So the fans are changing gears, as the industry is. And it's quite something.
Well, and that's a balance you kind of want to see, right? Because same with the Fightful Awards. The Fightful Awards, we really had WWE won 12 categories, and I want to say AEW won 17, but 3 of those categories that AEW had won were categories that WWE didn't even really have a position in, like Vlog of the Year and things along those lines. Like, those are categories, of course, AEW is going to win when you think about AEW and the way they present themselves versus WWE. That's just kind of the nature of the beast. And yeah, it was really evenly split when you really think about it, of WWE really taking like men's match of the year, you know, of course, Sheamus and Gunther won for the Intercontinental title, but then, and technically it was really Ring of Honor. So like, I can't even really say that AEW took the tag team match of the year because it's technically a Ring of Honor match, but like, come on. They're the same brand. at some point there'll be some distinction, but I think that right now it is the same everything, like down to the crew. It's all the same people running both properties, and at some point it'll probably start to distinct itself out. But either way, we are just starting to see a point where we're seeing a whole bunch of distinction. So much, in fact, folks, I know I normally host Day After Dynamite, but this Saturday night, right here on YouTube.com/Fightful, your boy will also be hosting the Royal Rumble post show along with... So Denise is going to be popping up shortly afterward, and so is Sean. They're both going to be at the Rumble, and so they, being at the post scrum, probably, or post media, scrum is an AEW term, post conference, they'll be at that. So therefore, they're going to be jumping in kind of late. But also, I'll be joined by Fightful's own Professor Nick Harrison. He will be on the show as well. So it's going to be a good time. Definitely check it out. That will be this Saturday, immediately following the Royal Rumble, which I'm very much looking forward to. It's one of my favorite events of the year. But not here to talk about any WWE content, because this is Day After Dynamite. And don't forget, folks, with this being Day After Dynamite, send us your Super Chats. Send us your Humper Chats. Humperchats.com is a way to send us a Humper Chat. You can send those at any time. And if we get them before the end of the show, we may read them during the show. That's kind of the goal here, is to make sure you get your voice heard on the show, and it helps support what we do. I'm actually going to pull up those Humper Chats right now, because I haven't even gotten to take a look at those. But we also have our Super Chats. YouTube.com/Fightful is the way to send us a Super Chat. And we got a Super Chat here. This one's from Van Twinblade. He says, "Hey, Will, what you doing on February 26th? I'll be watching Wasteland War Party abuse Rohit Raju and Karam at Glory Pro Anniversary 6. Always with the Glory Pro plugs, Mr. Van Twinblade. I don't know what I'm doing February 26th. I could probably watch that. What am I doing February 26th? I think there is actually something I'm supposed to be doing. But
like, it's so far away.
I know that specific date. My February is like really booked. I know I have just a ton, just back-to-back podcasts. I know I'm booked for like this weekend is going to be kind of insane. Because I've got, so just with Denise alone this weekend, I have the Royal Rumble post show, which she's going to be on. Then she and I are hosting, after the week on her YouTube channel, which we host every Sunday. By the way, it's a great show. If you're not checking that out, please watch After the Week. And then on Tuesday, she's got the show, the Amazon show she does. And that one I'll be guest hosting with her as well. So just like back-to-back days of podcasts, plus I still have Grapsody and Day After Dynamite and all these things. So it's good stuff. And yeah, we did get some Humper Chats. And so I want to make sure to get these read. And again, humperchats.com. Make sure when you're sending in a Humper Chat that you identify what show that you're sending them in for. Because one of the things that I didn't get a chance to watch it in full. And so... I know that some people are going to have some thoughts on it, and please feel free to send us your thoughts. But I haven't had a chance to watch the Ring of Honor show honoring Jay, the 3-hour show that they just put up that they filmed last week in Fresno that includes a lot of Jay's career highlights. I haven't had a chance to watch the Jay Briscoe tribute show. I kind of skimmed through it. I stopped and I watched like a lot of the video tributes that a lot of the talent got to do. I saw Samoa Joe's. I saw Adam Cole. I saw Christopher Daniels. I haven't had a chance to watch the matches yet, but if I get a chance to, I will definitely sit down. 3 hours. Look, I haven't had 3 hours of my day yet, but once I do,
I'm with you on that.
Pablo sent in a Humper Chat. Says, "Happy Dad, everyone." Thank you. It says, went to Lucha Libre and laughs last Friday. You know, I tried to go myself, and it was sold out. So good on Lucha Libre and laughs for the old Triple L here in Denver for pulling that off. They had a great card. They had, and honestly, my wife hit me up, and she's like, do you want to do something tonight? Last Friday. And I was like, do you want to hit Lucha Libre and laughs? And so we tried to. Sold out. And it was so sold out that normally I have ways, if there's no tickets, to use them Fightful credentials to get into something, and they didn't even have room for me that way, and so couldn't go. But he says, really fun show. Spoke to Brian Keith and Dalton Castle for a bit after. Super nice dudes. I could tell Dalton was in pain though. What a tribute we got last night. Thank you, Jay. And yes, yesterday we did get a big tribute to Jay Briscoe. Jay, of course. Yesterday was actually his birthday. And so, you know, there were some stories that kind of came out. We talked last week about the fact that we had it confirmed that Tony Khan had attempted to do a tribute last week and was blocked from doing so. And I do know that he fought for it. He said that he was trying, and he really wanted to make that happen. And he did everything in his power to make it happen. And I think that combined with a lot of the public outcry kind of gave the people at Warner Brothers Discovery the impression that I think it changed some minds. I think it showed that this was something people wanted, that they wanted to see, and that would be good on Warner Brothers Discovery to give the people, and they did. Like I said last week, my only thing I wasn't willing to say, and I'm still not willing to, is I was never able to confirm that the reason that Jay was not allowed on was the tweets. That I've never gotten a concrete word on that, and I feel like the only thing I've ever gotten concrete was that Warner Brothers Discovery was the driving force behind whether or not the Briscoes could appear on the show. But they rescinded it, they lifted it, they are okay with, you know, these aren't the circumstances we would want to see this in, of course. I would have loved to have seen the Briscoes as the Briscoes performing as a tag team on the show. And that's a really cool thing. But what we got, I think, shows the willingness to change their minds on it, I think, is still something to be commended here. And Tony fighting for it and making it happen, I think, is something that they should be proud of, and they should be proud of what they put on last night for Jay Briscoe.
Yeah, I can't imagine just what that moment felt like for those two in the ring, Mark and Jay Lethal. And, you know, Jay Lethal was so emotional, and it, that moment was something else. So I'm like you, Will, I'm very glad that they were able to pull that off and that Tony was able to get that, you know, in motion and get the green light for that, because that was a very special moment for that match and that tribute.
Absolutely. Kim Gray says, had never seen a Briscoe's match till now, but heard so much about them from Fightful and Busted Open. Hey, look at us. Last night showed me once again, wrestling is family. I hear that a lot from people. I have heard from so many people that their first experience with the Briscoes was the FTR matches, which mathematically makes sense, right? The most bought ROH pay-per-views were the three they did last year. And so, of course, you just do the numbers. There's no way it's not true that a lot of people's first matches of the Briscoes have been just in the last year. I know people who went to Ring of Honor at Supercard of Honor because they had been to the Curtis Colwell Center so many times for AEW shows. And so knowing that, oh, Ring of Honor is coming back here, but it's Tony Khan's run Ring of Honor, so I know that I'm getting more of an AEW show here. And so they decided to go out, but they had never seen Ring of Honor. I talked to people who were at the Supercard of Honor show who said that exact thing. And so I know for a fact that some people seeing the Briscoes for the first time was just this year, or just this past year. And so that is, it's one of those like gifts and a curse kind of things where I wish more people had been exposed to what they brought to tag team wrestling for longer. I hate that it had to end here as people were just getting to know them as performers. And yeah, it's really unfortunate, but it's also fortunate that they did get to go out as Matt Jackson kind of, or it was Nick Jackson, I think. No, Matt Jackson. Matt Jackson said it on FTR, but or on FTR, on BTE. But with the way Matt Jackson said that, you know, they kind of got to go out on top, you know, winning all these Match of the Year awards and things along those lines. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're here. And then also, Sean Ross Sapp was at Dynamite last night, Lexington, Kentucky, his backyard. He was actually supposed to be my guest on this show, and then he's got Rumble Travels, and I so much appreciate Candace for being here. I've asked Candace before, and we were never able to make it line up, but yeah. This week it did. So,
right.
But Sean brought the Fightful Awards to Dynamite and distributed them, the physical awards, to the talent, and that's a really cool thing. The Briscoes accepted, or specifically Mark Briscoe accepted the Tag Team Match of the Year awards on behalf of Jay, and he's going to be giving the award. He's going to be giving Jay's award to Ashley Pugh and the Pugh family, and that's mm-hmm. really touching and really cool.
Yeah.
So,
goodness.
Karl Marx, that is not your real name, Carl, says, hello, comrades.
Hello, Carl. Maybe it is his real name. It's Carl.
That is the, no, that is not Karl Marx. I mean, it's Carl with a C, but either way, thank you for the super chat. There was other news that came out of Dynamite last night. We had heard going into the show that Britt Baker had an injury that was preventing her from working the match last night, we are told, and credit to where it's due. The Observer got it out there first, and F4W noting that the injury was not significant. And it was basically significant enough to keep her out of the ring for a week, but not significant enough to basically write her out of programming. That, as Tony said, the match is going to happen, the three-way match. It was originally scheduled to be Britt Baker taking on Ruby Soho, taking on Tony Storm, the newly healed Tony Storm.
Mm.
Britt is not going to be out too long, and so this was one of those things where she just didn't need to work last night's show. It wouldn't have been a good idea, and so she didn't. And so that's the story. And she will be back soon. And when she's back, we're going to get that three-way. So it's kind of cool. There's a story to tell with that.
All right. Will, I have a quick question. What do you, what do you think about Tony turning heel? Because I feel like some people are not down for it.
You know, Tony is one of the most interesting talents in AEW to me, because she is an incredible worker. I think that, and I don't just mean that in terms of she does great in-ring work. I mean, she works. Like, Tony went on a 10-week run on Dynamite where every single week she was doing something on Dynamite, and like through that interim women's title run. And then, of course, she had the orbital injury, and so she hadn't been there since full gear. But since she's been back, she's worked every Dynamite since she's been back. Where it has just been a straight, Tony Storm was on, she worked the LA show, and then the very next week she worked the Fresno show, she worked last night in Lexington, Kentucky. It was like, she just works. When Tony Storm is on, they don't turn her off, she just goes. But I feel like through all of that, something felt like it was disconnected. Like, she's been doing all this consistent work, but the crowd hasn't been getting behind her.
Yeah.
And the crowds really wanted Jamie Hayter. When she had that 10-week run, the crowds were chanting for Jamie, but she was doing the work. I thought Tony was. And so for me, I think this is the best way to meet in the middle. I think if she is going to continue doing the work she's doing, but the crowd doesn't seem to want to cheer her, let her continue doing the work, but give the crowds a reason to react. And I think in that sense, put her against the people the crowds love and piss them off. And I think that that is, you know, it's kind of the Roman Reigns adage, right? Where it's like, Roman wasn't a bad worker as a babyface. He just wasn't connecting. And yeah. So, like, that didn't mean take him off TV. That meant adjust him and align him in a way where the fans can get into him. Mm-hmm. And so I think with Toni Storm, the right call, I think, was to put her against the fans, not try and force the fans to cheer.
I agree with that. And I was waiting to see Jamie. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. My throat. I was waiting to see Jamie last night, and I was thinking, where is she? What's going on? And then they announced her for Rampage, and I was like, cool. I'm here for that Emi Sakura match. I'm ready for it.
There's two cool things about that. One, correct me if I'm wrong, folks. Has Emi Sakura been on TV since 2019?
I was just thinking that, like, last week.
Yeah. Like, I know.
She
is a mainstay of Dark. She is a mainstay of Elevation. Her theme, still a bop. But you know what? When's the last time she's actually had a TV match? A Dynamite or Rampage?
Thank you. It's time.
With that said, I was very excited to see that. And then also, it feels like they may have stumbled upon something, because pay-per-view buy-ins don't count either, have they stumbled upon something? Because last week the women did main event Rampage, the street fight that had certain people up in arms, and you know what, ratings were, that was one of the best rated Dynamite or Rampage main events in a long time. Rampage, usually you can almost set your watch by it, usually sinks as the show goes throughout. But that was one of the rare times where the main event actually went up. I think that's kind of a good litmus test for women main eventing. I think that because it is the main event this week, by the way, the Emi Sakura versus Jamie Hayter match is the main event of Rampage this week. And I think that that's really cool and interesting and a good way to kind of test the water with the audiences.
I have not seen that street fight yet.
Haven't seen the street fight.
I haven't. I've only seen the clip of Anna Jay, you know, taking that bump. That's literally, I remember it caused such a stir on Twitter, and I was like, what happened? And then I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to watch this, because I hope she's okay,
and I haven't heard anything kind of severe on that, but I guess we shall see. Hey, folks, you know what time of the show it is?
Will Washington! How are you, pal?
I'm good, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm well. Candace, how are you?
There's one guy, by the way, who absolutely hates this bit and comments every single week about how much they hate Jeremy running.
Do they?
Wow. Yeah, every week there's one guy who comments.
Where is he?
So.
I get a lot of people who, for some reason, they seem to like this bit, and they say that they love my energy of, you know, this is how I need to be greeted everywhere by everybody. The same energy Jeremy greets Will Washington with. I'm always excited to be here to talk to you. Yeah, to see you.
Absolutely. No, I love it. Are you kidding me? I get excited. You see the look on my face as soon as I hear Will Washington. It's great. I love it. I very much read feedback to the show. I read it all. And there's like one guy who every week is like, you got to drop the Jeremy bit. And I thought, no, this is... Look, Jeremy, first off, greenlit this show. He did. Jeremy absolutely greenlit Day After Dynamite.
Because you're Will Washington. And like I've told the story many times, you said, hey, can I do this? I'm like, yes, you are Will Washington. You can do whatever the hell you want. That's why I greenlit it. I have so much love and respect for you that I was like, yeah, if this is what you want to do, go for it.
Yes. And Jeremy did give me that. So, Look, if he wants to stop in, he can stop in and say hi. And he gets to say hi to my guests. I also think it is, like, the fact that he brought up kind of the forbidden door bit is actually really great. And I like
that. I mean, you're the reason that, Nick Harrison, who's doing the Rumble show with, you on, Saturday, he appeared on FMC, our non-wrestling show, did our basketball preview. He's going to be back for our All-Star game, like, preview and talk and everything. So I never talked to Nick before that little run in with you, and so that helped. And I've followed other people. Adam, my Avalanche buddy now, like, never talked to him before this. This is my first time meeting Candace virtually, so it connects. As I said, you are the forbidden door. You connect me with a bunch of people, and then, like, I run in here and badger you every week, then I badger them to appear on other shows with me, so it works.
Yeah. No, it's always great. And you know, it's funny, we got Orion Bin 666 says Jeremy is Rick James to Will's Charlie Murphy.
So somebody said that, it may have been Orion as well, of saying, like, is that where you took it from, of like, is that what your inspiration from? I was like, I don't think it started like that, but now every time I do it, like, yeah, it 100%. That's what I feel like it sounds like.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Man, you know, it really gets me, though, that those Charlie Murphy True Hollywood Stories, it really gets me that, like, everyone from those is gone. Like Rick James died, like a year after. And then, of course, Prince died 2016. Charlie Murphy died. I forget what year Charlie Murphy died. Mm-hmm. But just thinking about how, like, man, everybody from those sketches is, like, gone. And those stories, like, shaped so much of my sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? When last year, or no, it was 2 years ago, at Double or Nothing, when in the Kenny versus Pac versus Orange Cassidy, and Kenny kicked Pac in his chest and Pac flew across the ring. Are you kidding me? That I only had one thought when that happened. Literally only one thought. That's one of my favorites. I think somebody actually did, like, set the audio to from the Charlie Murphy bit. So either way, Jennifer says Jeremy is family.
Thanks, Jennifer. She knows the Fast and Furious love. She gets that as well. You gotta live your life a quarter mile at a time. Candace, do you live your life a quarter mile at a time?
At this rate, yes. Absolutely. No regrets. Let's just keep moving. Come on now. We're coming out of this pandemic. You just go for it. Go for
it. Right. That's the only way to live life.
Yeah.
I will not stay any longer to the one person that hates the bit. Sorry, I'll be back next week.
Bye, Will.
Hope the weather is good there. And Nuggets will get back on track. People were expecting me to, since the Thunder beat the Nuggets, I'm pulling for the Nuggets this year.
In the last 10 games, they're still 8-2. It's just
they didn't have Jokic. Like, they didn't have Jokic
in
the game.
Yesterday, they were missing four starters. And so, and the fact that it was, again, it's one of those things where it's like, even in loss, some would say that
there's growth.
It's a good testament to how did this team perform without Jamal Murray? How did they perform without Jokic? How did they perform without Michael Porter Jr.? Like, when I see that, I think I was not expecting a win against Milwaukee. Like, I know the term scheduled loss is a thing that is a lot of people call an excuse, but to me, I'm like, look, when you're missing four starters and you're up against the Milwaukee Bucks, who, like, they had a fully healthy Giannis who had a great game and they're on the road, I was like, you know what, let's kind of take that one on the chin. Hopefully they're a little more together against Philadelphia on Saturday, because the Sixers are a beast of a team.
You're talking to your girl from Philly, like, come on out. Sixers, Eagles, Union, like,
how are you feeling about the Eagles, Candace? How are you feeling?
We're winning the Super Bowl. I've already manifested. You don't understand. Everything that I've envisioned is coming to pass, and we're winning the Super Bowl. I'm going to get my parade experience because I missed it the last time they won, and it's just going to be pandemonium in the streets as the last time they won. So I'm sorry to whoever they go up against. I'm, you know, good luck to you, but we're winning.
was it winning. SNL who said that they had the bit where Following the Philadelphia 76ers, not 76ers, the Eagles game, there was pandemonium in the streets, which does not indicate whether or not they won or lost.
You know, as soon as I said it, as soon as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, I regret that. I know the reputation you have. It is what it is. I'm here for the Eagles. So,
yeah,
we are winning. I'm putting that out there. We are winning. I can't wait.
I love the energy. Best of luck to your Eagles against the Niners. I don't really know any Niners fans off the top of my head, so I don't care what they do.
Oh, I do, because
is Reg a Niners fan?
No, so it has more to do with living in Denver. So, quick story. But for whatever reason, and I've never seen this with any other team, but I take that back, Raiders as well. But here in Denver, there is this collective of Niners fans that have this gathering, and for whatever reason, they do the gathering at the park by my house. And so they do this annual gathering of the Niners. They call themselves like Colorado 49ers fans. And they all, and the last time it happened was on my son's birthday. That was where I realized that this was even a thing, was we were throwing a birthday party for my son, and the park is like packed. And all of these people are in their red and gold jerseys. There's people just flying these Niners flags. And I thought, how are there this many 49ers fans in Denver, where you have a team that's won the Super Bowl more recently than the 49ers? What is happening here? This isn't computing to me.
But that's like here. There's like a swath of Cowboys fans, which makes no, I don't understand it. I'm like,
well, especially considering the rivalry, yeah.
Right. Like, you're in Eagles territory. Why are you a Cowboys fan? I will never get that, but let me stop. I'm going to piss someone off.
This is why people hate the run-in, by the way, because I just get y'all off track. You don't talk about Dynamite anytime. Van
Twinblade says, Jeremy is a dweeb, but he's our dweeb.
Thank you. Thanks, Van Twinblade. All right, I will exit now. Bye, guys. Have a good show.
Bye-bye.
Talking about Dynamite.
Back on the topic of Emmy, yeah, Chris Rain says the hater Emmy match delivered big time too. That's what I'm hearing. I've heard very good things about it, so I won't get to watch it as it airs because I literally just bought tickets for Megan tomorrow, which starts exactly the time Rampage begins, so I won't be able to watch Rampage while it's on. But I finally have to see Megan. Look, everybody's been talking about it, and I'm a big horror film fan.
Me too.
Yes. And so, obviously for people who know my frequent guest on this show, Theron Reynolds, he obviously is my horror film go-to expert. That man watches every horror film that comes out. The worse it is, like, the more he enjoys it. Like, when it's like those like really crappy, campy ones that you'll only find on like Shudder, like, those are his go-tos. Loves those.
Let's go. I'm here for that.
But for me, like, you know, I like a good scare, and I like suspense, and I love things along those lines. So I will definitely check out Theron's YouTube channel, by the way, as the chat is noting. As Jennifer said, Theron is dope. He has a great YouTube channel. Everybody check out his YouTube channel as he reviews scary movies. That's his thing. So,
yeah, that's my favorite genre. Sorry, I'm so
happy. Yeah, it's. Well, did you see Megan?
I haven't. I plan to see it next week. I just haven't had the time. There's so much happening. But let me know how it is, because I hear it's amazing, and they're already planning the second one for, I think, 2024. So
yeah, so
I'm here. I can't wait.
I think it might be 2025. I think it's a 2-year gap. Wow. But either way, it's.
I can't wait that long.
I will definitely be seeing that. And look, I don't know if people know this, for the people who don't know this, but you know, obviously I host a lot of wrestling content. I get paid to do a lot of wrestling content, but my full-time job is that I am a software developer, and the thing I do work on is automation and AI. That's what I work in. And so it's a field that is near and dear to me. And I like I'm a big Terminator fan. I love the concept of AI eventually becoming smarter than its programmer, because ultimately I am a programmer, and my goal should be to make my my content, what I'm producing, smarter than me, and make it get it to a point of where it no longer needs me. That's always the goal as a programmer. And so I love that concept in film. It's always so great. And his YouTube channel, by the way, is called T Watches a Scary Movie. And that's his YouTube channel. It's he's been working on its growth, and he puts a lot of work into it. I definitely highly recommend checking out T's content, because again, he's one of my best friends. I've known him since the ninth grade, and to age myself, that was 21 years ago. But this is what we do. Look, I even like the Disney Channel movie, the Smart House. Love Smart House, by the way.
Gosh, that's that's a throwback. Oh my goodness, I'm thinking of the last horror movie I saw recently on, I think it was Hulu, either Hulu or Peacock, called Sick. That was really intriguing because it was like all about the pandemic, so it was extremely relevant, and it went to a place that I was not expecting. So if you guys are into horror, then I definitely recommend Sick. That was a really cool movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it's hey, we got a Humper Chat from Phantom, who says, Emmy's last TV match was on December 11th, 2019 versus Big Swole. So happy she's getting another chance. Not sure if you heard anything about it, Will, because honestly, it felt like she was banned from TV. I don't know if she was banned from TV. That's not really the case. I know what my understanding of Emi Sakura's kind of standing with AEW was that, so when she left after 2019, she was intending on taking a bit of a kind of sabbatical. It was going to be just a few months that she was going to be away. She went back to Japan because she worked pretty she had worked pretty consistently in AEW from about the start of AEW. She kind of came in and she had the feud with Riho. She had the match with Riho at Full Gear that year. And then she had a couple more matches afterward. She had that match with Big Swole, and that was really the match that put Big Swole over on TV. And then Emmy went back to Japan, and I think she was intending on coming back sooner, but pandemic, right? And she ended up not returning till AEW went back on the road. So that was a solid year and a half that we went without Emmy Sakura in any way, shape, or form. She was just gone. And then I think from the time she's been back, and you know, she's talked about how her goals were to get back on TV. But a lot of what she's been there for, as far as her usage has been concerned, was really readying a lot of the women for TV. She's had a lot of, a lot of her dark matches have been against some of the talent that they are ready to kind of move up onto TV. But I think there's a tremendous amount of respect for her. And you heard it from Jamie Hayter this week, Jamie Hayter talking about how Emi Sakura has been, you know, she's a legendary name, Japanese women's wrestling, and she's a big influence on who Jamie Hayter is. And yeah, just getting her on Rampage here, I think is really cool. And, hopefully it leads to something a little bit more for her. But yeah, she's really been in a really solid protege role backstage, and getting to give a lot of the women behind the scenes, or not even behind the scenes, but just kind of off TV, doing it on Dark and Dark Elevation, kind of giving them those matches that ready them for the spots on TV. But no, I don't think it was a banning thing per se. You know, very much in a similar to what the Briscoes had, because I know that's going to be the thought a lot of people have when it comes to somebody not being on TV. The immediate thought's going to be, well, is it a Warner Brothers decision? Anything along those lines? I don't think that was the case here. Warner Brothers has had some eyebrows raised at certain talent that they weren't exactly like feeling like were TV pleasers, and maybe one day I'll drop some names on that, but that's one of those things I would like to get a little more confirmation on before I say stuff like that. But Ricardo, surname loading, that's very funny, says, Jave's Give, Send, Go is at 30 sorry, 322,000. Thanks, everyone. I mean, look, everybody who donated to it, it's a very, very cool thing that there's been so much support. The thing I found really cool out of Ashley Pugh was there's been a lot of negativity toward the toward the woman who was driving the other car, a lot of it. I heard Jim Cornette's rant on, you know, he talked about Jay Briscoe, and he gave a really emotional podcast about Jay Briscoe and what Jay Briscoe meant to him. But I thought it was a little kind of out of pocket the way he was talking about the driver of the other car. And I think that we as wrestling fans kind of have to take a step back from kind of stuff like that and recognizing that, look, two people were lost. That's a tragedy. Like, at the end of the day, there's two people who were lost here, and nobody was walking through the day intending for this to happen. And so I'm saying all this to say that, you know, Ashley Pugh, she straight up said, I want people donating to their family as well. I want people making sure that their family's taken care of, because, you know, they lost a mom as well. And it's she's not somebody to see as the enemy here. She's not somebody to see as a perpetrator, anything along those lines. And yeah, if you can, please donate to the family of the other driver as well, because look, there's two people without a parent, and that's the two families without a parent right now. And one has the benefit of having a big fan base and working for a major company that can support the family. But the other doesn't really have that. And I appreciated her noting that, because, again, I didn't like a lot of what I was hearing from wrestling fans and kind of wrestling pundits about that kind of stuff. You know, she's just as much a victim here. And that's all. That's all I have to say as far as that's concerned.
That's well put. Very well put.
Jay Bronson says, while I wish it was last night match under better, or while I wish it was, while I wish it last night's match under was under better circumstances, I hope to see more Mark Briscoe on AEW TV. Also, when the Nuggets retire number 15, should it be for Jokic only or Melo also? I mean, at this point, Jokic, three-time MVP. Also, Jokic, sorry, he's not quite three-time MVP, but he's about to be. You know he is the MVP this year. Don't argue with me. That man is the MVP. I don't want to hear about Luka. I mean, Luka's great, but I don't want to hear it. That man is the MVP. Also, he's played more games for the Nuggets than Carmelo has. So, like, at this stage of his career, he is more of the Nuggets franchise guy than Carmelo. As much as, like, look, Carmelo, obviously, he was NBA live cover. I loved Carmelo. I love Carmelo. If they would have signed that man to a 10-day contract right now to let him retire a Nugget, I would love that, actually. I think that's one of the coolest things the Nuggets could and should do.
Wow.
God, I could probably start a Nuggets podcast at this point. As a matter of fact, I did already register the name. Hold on. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for the name I came up with for it? This is the first time I've said this publicly, Candace.
Oh, I feel so, I'm blessed. Let's do it.
All right.
You are blessed.
I called it Nug Life.
You know what?
I know, right?
Can I'll support it in spirit, but, like, come on, Philly, we don't.
Yeah. I know.
You know how.
Hey, and we stole Allen Iverson from you guys, so that's also great. Let's see. Orion Ben 666 says the ref has to be Stefan. If you know, you know. Absolutely, I agree. And the
fans too.
Let's see. Anime Otaku says, think we'll see a tea time bit in Emmy's match.
We have to.
Yes.
Love it.
Hold on. Craig Carter said this one's pretty good too. He says basic Nugonomics. That was actually really good.
Oh Lord, where are the Philly fans? Please speak up. I feel outnumbered.
Um, But either way, I'm glad you guys understand where I was going with Nug Life. But anyway, so that's a name I've been sitting on for a while. And if I could pull that off, I would absolutely. Again, it's something I've been considering. And every season, I'm like constantly thinking about it.
You have to, Will.
And let's see. Christopher Swift says, sage words from Coleman and Riccoboni last night. Basically, let those you love and respect know how you feel. As such, mad respect to you, Will, and Dad. Yeah, I felt the same way. When Capri said that last night, I felt that. I felt like, when he said the point about, letting small things go, call your family, tell them you love them kind of things. That's how I've been feeling the last couple of weeks. The last week. It's hard to be in this spot right now and knowing that, Jay was here just a couple weeks ago. 11 days ago, he was here. And just in a flash, he is gone. Like, that man was posting a tweet about his new hat, and a couple of hours later, he's just not here. And that's a hard one. But let's talk about All Elite Wrestling Dynamite.
Yes.
Let's ignite it. I have a question for you, Candace.
What's up?
Question for the chat as well. And I'm going to post this as a poll on Twitter. I'm just curious. We are now week 4. We've seen 4 times. Actually, it's 5 tapings. How are you feeling 4 weeks in, a whole month? January is complete. You've gotten a whole month of the new set, the new stage. How do you feel about it?
So weird because it's strange. I don't want to say I didn't see a difference because I saw the stage had changed, but it just wasn't what I expected it to be. That's not a bad thing, but it's just, I don't know. I saw it and I was like, I didn't think to myself, oh, I missed the old stage, or oh, I missed it. I'm hopeful that this is a sign of more new things to come and greater things to come. But it's weird. It's weird. I didn't think, oh my gosh, new stage. Like, I love it, but I don't hate it. I guess I feel neutral about it. I'm blabbering on. I didn't know it was a huge difference. Like, it's really, I don't know.
So, because I see somebody in the chat says, I missed the heel and face tunnels. They're still technically doing that. They are technically still coming out of, because they have the two screens on the left and right side. Mm-hmm. And so if you enter from behind the left screen versus entering behind the right screen, it's still technically supposed to be it's supposed to still have the same function as the tunnels. But I can't see how you're not necessarily seeing that any longer. Mm-hmm. It is interesting because, like, to me, the old set, and it was, I will say, when the new set debuted, and this is a feeling that I've been trying to kind of find the right way to articulate, but the old set, I associate so much of the old set with Cody. And when I say that, I mean, like, the old set had the chandelier thing in the middle, which I associate twofold with Cody, because the first show that was ever used at, of course, it raised up and it revealed the Triple H throne that Cody smashed. And then, of course, that's how Cody made his entrance for the next 2 years of Dynamite after that. And so there's so much of that stage that I feel like is a Cody Rhodes thing, that when the new stage debuted, my immediate thought was, there's nothing Cody about this. Like, I don't even see, if Cody were to come back tomorrow, I would not see how he could return, how he could do his entrance any longer. Like, the elevator lift is gone. There is no more way for Cody to have the Cody entrance. It really does feel like a Cody-less AEW now. I have grown to love it. I think that, I know people are like, they don't really like a whole thing full of LEDs, and they'll compare it to WWE stage, which is just one giant LED. I think that this being a separated bunch of LEDs, I think.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gives it a sense of depth, and like there are multiple pieces here. I would love to see what they do pay-per-view wise with it, because one of the things I do like is that they can kind of play around with the elements of it, and it's like it could be the same stage for a pay-per-view, but all of a sudden, because it is seven screens, you can change what each screen is and change what each screen is doing, and so you can make it whatever you want to make it and make it feel unique in a sense. And I think that's kind of cool that you do have these kind of seven individual elements. Is it seven? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It is seven screens. And so I think there's just so much you can do with it to make it its own thing. Because I do think that the Rampage look does look very different from Dynamite each week. When you see them change it to the Rampage graphics or change it to the Dark graphics or Elevation, it looks different than the Dynamite ones. I'm with it. I actually do like it. And
I don't hate it.
Somebody said it doesn't feel AEW. And I think that that's fair in the sense that AEW has definitely never had this much polish. And now all of a sudden AEW feels like a more polished product than it did before.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, when I saw the color scheme, and this is just, you know, after watching wrestling for quite some time, whenever I see blue, I can't help but think SmackDown. That's just like an automatic thing. So I don't want to compare the two, but it's like you start to associate certain colors with different shows, but it's still distinctly AEW in a certain way, even if it's polished up. I think we're just so, like you were basically saying, There's a certain type of nostalgia. So the old set, it just seems quintessentially AEW. And it's hard to kind of extricate yourself from that nostalgia to new. Like some people just don't like change. So it's going to take some time to get used to. But yeah, still for me, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. It's just going to be like something to take time to get used to. And then before I know it, it's just going to be, you know, that's AEW. That's a new set. Keep things moving. But yeah, I can't help but think blue SmackDown, but that's me. That's just how my brain works. So
well it is going to be interesting, because again, wrestling fans are inherently nostalgic. That's just the way wrestling fans are. I give it a month before we start seeing people posting pictures of the old set going, remember the good old days, remember back when gasoline was $4 and remember back when you could buy a carton of eggs for a dollar and remember when the AEW set had tunnels and a chandelier? Like, that, this is going to be people in a month.
A month, though. Change.
Yeah.
You know, you either hate it or love it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But I like that they're changing things up and doing some fresh new things and experimenting. And yeah, we're in a new era. This solidifies it. So, yeah.
Yep. Well, so show intros, and as soon as the theme song is over, we just are immediately halfway through Chris Jericho's entrance. And not gonna lie, I kind of like it. I was like, "Hey, yeah." I kind of liked it. I was like, "You know what? Chris Jericho's entrance. We've seen it a million times. Obviously, every crowd wants to be able to sing Judas, especially a crowd they've never been in. This was their first time in the state of Kentucky, first time like State of Kentucky Rupp Arena, and." So this crowd is going to want to sing Judas. But look, man, I've seen it. I've seen it 1,000 times. I'm all right. I don't need it. And so when it kicked in halfway through the intro and the fans are already singing, I was like, good for them. Because there's so much other stuff that's going to need time tonight that if you could somehow give the crowd their Judas moment but also cut it in half, fine by me. Somebody tweeted at me that they took my advice, which was if you need a bathroom break during AEW events, Judas is the right time to do it, because if you've done it once, you've done it a million times. And again, I've been to enough shows, seen Judas performed.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing. The first time, it was a very fun thing to do. I was right there, Judas right in my mind. Now I'm like, all right, let me go hit the merch stands and see what I can pull off, because by the time this song is over, I'll have been able to get food and get some merch, because everybody else wants to sing Judas.
It's not that long. You're able to get food and merch?
Yeah. it works. Hold on. I'm going to time it really quick. I just want to pull up Judas by Fozzy. And I want to get to the point in the song where we get Judas in my mouth.
I'm going to do a little retweet.
Let's see. It is... Okay, there it is. So it's at the 1 minute and 42 second mark. So you get almost a minute and a half of Judas.
Well, you know what? That cannot be enough time to get food alone. Those food lines are long, Will.
But that's the thing. Everybody wants to sing Judas, right? So they're all in their seats. So that's where you're taking the advantage of going to get food while everybody else singing Judas.
All right. Got you.
That's how you get it done, folks. Now, if everybody starts doing it, then we've got a problem.
Blame you. We'll blame you.
Either way. It was the reuniting of Les Sex Gods. It was Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara teaming up to take on Action Andretti and Ricky Starks. Now, the Jericho Appreciation Society has not had a win in this rivalry. We saw Action Andretti start off by getting his win over Chris Jericho. We saw then Action Andretti this past Friday on Rampage. He got a win over Daniel Garcia. We saw Ricky Starks, of course, on January 4th, beat Chris Jericho. He then also beat Jake Hager. Literally, Jericho Appreciation Society has not looked well against these guys. They have had their number until tonight. Because here we saw, in a very, very long opener, they gave these guys a lot of time to do their thing. And I know he's never going to win the fans back over. People hate the guy. I don't hate Sammy Guevara, guys. I think that I still enjoy Sammy. And I think that the more people hate him, the more enjoyable he becomes. Mm-hmm. That I think he actually works best when he gets those Sammy sucks chants. And then when he'll do something that on most people would be considered spectacular in the crowd chants, you still suck, that's actually entertaining to me, and I enjoy this stuff. So to me, Sammy Guevara, I thought he was great here.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Leaning into it. I mean, I agree with you. I remember when I was in Queens last year and the reception to Sammy, Queens, New York, the reception to Sammy, I was taken aback because I was like, oh my gosh, the crowd hates this guy. I'd never seen anything like it live, to be honest. And I think at this point, the fact that he's just leaning into it, I mean, what are you going to do? Just be that dastardly heel and play into it and just heal it up. And I'm here for it. I don't hate him either. It's just, hey, Sammy Guevara, he's a heel. He's going to do Sammy Guevara things. Did I appreciate what happened last night? No, I do not. But like, that's me. I love Action Andretti and Ricky Starks. But, you know, I'm very intrigued to see where this is going to go, like this whole feud. And I like this. So, yeah.
And so, yeah, because, of course, they're still playing up the Sammy Guevara, Daniel Garcia story. And yes. We did see Daniel Garcia use the bat while Aubrey Edwards was distracted. And that led to Sammy Guevara hitting GTH on Action Andretti. 1, 2, 3. And because I hear people asking, why is Action Andretti even in this role? I even saw Conan talk about this. I recognize why he's in this role. The only way that Jericho angle, which they tried to do a very 1-2-3 kid type angle, the only way that angle would have worked was with somebody unknown. Had you kind of just plucked somebody that was known to the audience, I don't think it would have had the effect that it had. The fact that the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, Jobber," and they were into him as a jobber that they thought stood no chance against Jericho. That angle only worked with somebody who was unknown to the TV audience. And so now you have somebody who can be a fall guy in a time where you're trying to raise Ricky Starks' stock, because Ricky Starks is in a position to be elevated in a feud with Chris Jericho. I don't think Ricky Starks should lose in this feud at all. But I think that the feud does need to have some kind of ebbs and flows. And so in this instance, for example, Ricky Starks' team needed to come up short. But Ricky Starks shouldn't be getting pinned. So who do you have get pinned? Action Andretti, a guy who looks good enough to have beaten Chris Jericho a month ago, but was ultimately the guy who came up just a little bit short with in the scenario because of the interference from the Jericho Appreciation Society. I think he's kind of the perfect guy for this role. I think if you used anybody else from the roster, you could potentially be slowing down their momentum in a way where using Action Andretti, he doesn't have any right now, but he has enough cachet from the victory over Jericho. That's my thoughts on why Action Andretti is the guy.
Perfectly stated, to be quite honest. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I didn't even think about it like that, but it makes a ton of sense, because my first thought was, I want to see more of Ricky Starks solo. What's with this pairing now? But yeah, I can see where this can go now. So it makes sense that he will be the fall guy. And because we, like you said, a lot of people don't know him. They're not familiar with him on TV. So yeah.
And I think you keep Ricky okay, because ultimately the last thing we saw Ricky do was hit Rochambeau on Chris Jericho outside the ring. Ricky, still fine. And I think Ricky's ultimately going to win this feud. But I think if the feud is to have any type of setback for Ricky in a way where Ricky can still keep looking strong, I think Action Andretti is the way to do it. And so I'm actually pretty okay with everything that's happened in this feud so far. Even the stuff I didn't think I was going to like. I liked the Hager match last week. I think the stuff with this feud is actually working. I'm curious what stip they throw on Ricky Starks versus Chris Jericho at Revolution. But so far, so good, actually. I'm pretty happy here.
Love it. Here for it. All right. Revolution. Oh, my God. It's coming up.
Yeah, I know, right? It is just in a few weeks.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. And Snap Grapple Pop asks, if I'm watching a movie or something, the lighting keeps changing. Is my lighting changing? Because no, I mean, I have an arcade. Oh, the arcade. That's what it is. There's an arcade behind me and it's running. It's currently running Hyper Street Fighter 2. It was the 2004 release where they combined all the Street Fighter 2s into one Street Fighter 2. But it's currently running on that arcade right there. That's what you're seeing, and that's the intro to the game because it's in a track mode. So, no, not watching a movie. It is an arcade that's running behind me. I can kind of shrink the shot. If you look here, you can see a little bit of it. But literally, it is Hyper Street Fighter 2 running behind me. That's my go-to for Street Fighter 2s. If I really want to play a Street Fighter 2 game, I feel like Hyper is the way to go. Because if you want the best of Turbo, you want the best of Super, you want Champion Edition, World Warrior, all of that, Hyper is the way to go. It's got everything. Anyway, though, continuing on with All Elite Wrestling Dynamite, we then saw So we had a very, very touching tribute video. I am huge on video packages, all of these things, and I thought this one was really, really well done. We saw it was a go ahead.
It was lovely. Didn't want to be rude, but I have to shout out Zane Decker. I've worked with Zane before. He is a professional. I didn't even know that he is. I'm sure many people didn't know that he was the one to cull that video together and to do it. And it was so pretty. So shout out to him. He's absolutely phenomenal when it comes to video work, directing, editing, amazing.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that Tony owns all that footage. To get to pay tribute to Jay Briscoe on national TV using the most important footage of Jay Briscoe's entire career, and Tony owns it all. That was kind of cool for that to all be in one place. Yeah, I liked seeing that. Especially, yeah, we got to see some of the great rivals of Jay Briscoe's, despite the fact that we saw footage of Kevin Steen, right? We got to see footage of... I mean, that's an interesting thing alone, in the fact that Tony owns the Ring of Honor library, and which means that he owns a lot of Kevin Owens' career. He owns a lot of... now he owns more of Adam Cole's career than WWE does, right? Like, it's interesting to think about how much content Tony Khan now is in possession of by being the owner of Ring of Honor, but to be able to do a full tribute to Jay Briscoe that way, that was awesome. And I was really happy to see that. Let's see. Marco Dominguez says, he mentioned Hyper Street Fighter 2. That warrants money. Champion Edition Guile is the way to go. I don't know. I like Super Blanca. That is my go-to. I think that either way, it's great to be able to have all of that variety and not have to... Because I hate Ken's... I prefer his original kick before they changed it in Super Turbo. So either way, look, guys... You know me. You can get me started on anything geeky and we can go. But we had the TNT title on the line.
Ooh.
House of Blacks. Buddy Matthews, who hasn't really gotten much singles work in AEW, getting a TNT title match against Darby Allin. Kind of steal some notes from Twitter here. A lot of people, while Buddy was in WWE, called a lot of what he did a Kenny Omega tribute act. And so it was kind of interesting that Buddy Matthews now works in AEW and did a lot of Seth Rollins' stuff. I thought this was interesting to me because it wasn't in a ripping off Seth Rollins kind of way. It very much felt like an homage to Seth Rollins. He did, of course, the buckle bomb. He did the curb stomp. And he of course, Buddy worked in when he was in WWE. He was the disciple of Seth Rollins. They had the tag team titles together. So that was cool. I thought, can't believe I'm saying this, Buddy looked a little rusty.
Huh.
I thought this was a I thought this was a good match, but I think for what we knew Buddy to be able to do as a singles performer, especially in those matches he had with Aleister Black back in WWE and all of that, I thought he looked a little out of practice as a singles guy. I would like to see him have more TV stuff. I don't know. What did you think of the match?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it's really interesting you say that because, of course, you know, going to social media, and I just watched it today. I just watched the match today, actually, because I didn't have a chance to last night. And a lot of the comments were praising Buddy. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think, when's the last time I saw him in the ring? I liked it. Did I think it was like spectacular, amazing? I mean, it was good. I'm trying to think if I saw any rustiness from Buddy. I don't think I did, but that's just me. That's my opinion. But all in all, I also think I'm just, I mean, the amount of matches that I've seen prior and then seeing this, like you said, I would like to see more of Buddy Matthews. He's a phenomenal wrestler. I've never thought that Buddy was someone that I wouldn't want to see in the ring. And him being in House of Black is so exciting to me because as a whole, I'm a huge House of Black girl. Like as soon as that music hits and I see Julia, I'm like, yes, what are we going to be privy to seeing tonight? I'm here. I'm in the pew. Give me my sermon. I'm for House of Black. But yeah, this match really showed me that I want to see more of Buddy because I feel like we're at the precipice of just seeing how much he really can do. Like, I feel like we're still waiting to see more and waiting to see what greatness can still be culled from him because I think there's just more to be seen from him. But this match, it was good. It was decent. I didn't think it was horrible. I didn't think it was like, oh my gosh, it was crap. But yeah. That's pretty much my thoughts on it. It was decent. I liked it. I liked Darby Allin. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think Darby is one of my favorite sellers in all of professional wrestling, mainly because he makes everything look like he shouldn't be alive afterward.
Yeah.
And his selling here, I thought, was very, very good. His selling post-match was very good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, he ultimately got the victory. And I thought Samoa Joe was very good after the match. So after the match was over, Tony Schiavone gets in the ring. Darby kind of tries to make it to his feet. Bryce has to help him up. And Darby is called out by Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe reminds him that he got lucky last time around and this time around won't be in his favor. And we've got now a no holds barred match for next week. Darby Allin one-on-one with Samoa Joe. Gee, wonder if this is where we're going to see Mr. Wardlow make his return.
Right. I can't see it being any other way because I as soon as this started and was put into motion, I was like, all right, we're going to get Samoa versus Darby. It's going to be absolutely crazy and nuts. Darby has absolutely no fear. Samoa Joe has no fear. But we at this point have to see Wardlow interject. If he doesn't, I'd be very worried, I guess, at that point, because it just, to me, it doesn't make sense, but we'll see what happens. Sometimes you can never tell mm-hmm. with the book, but yeah.
But yeah, I and guys, like, this isn't me when I say that about Buddy. Again, something about the pacing just seemed a little off. I thought it was a good match. I have this kind of standard for Buddy matches because of what I had seen from Buddy, but I also recognize it was like 3 years ago. And so I think I want to see him do more singles work. I want to see him get more matches in. Like the fact that this was his first since a squash he had back in like August.
Was August?
Yeah, it's been a long time. And so I want to see more from Buddy. And that's, I feel like I just want to see him in practice more. Like, look at Brian Danielson. That guy is working every single week. And every single week he's reminding us why he is the best. And I think that that's probably the only way that can make it. I mean, that you can do that is continuing to do it. So what I'm saying here is that I want to see more Buddy, basically. Let's see. We then saw, let me pull up the results here, trying to see what was next. So then, oh, we got an Adam Cole video. Yes. And he was training in the ring.
Yes.
He's on his way back to the ring. It seems like they're going to hold off his return match till Revolution. He looked off and he was looking at the way he was looking at the sign at the top of the arena for Revolution. Seems like that's where his comeback match is going to be. I'm looking forward to babyface Adam Cole, babyface solo Adam Cole at that. We haven't gotten to see that, and I'm actually very ready for it.
I'm so happy he's back. I'm just happy he's well, and I'm like, take your time, Adam. Take your time. Do what you gotta do. Gear yourself up. We'll be here for you at Revolution. So that was a treat. Yes. Love Adam Cole.
Loved it. And then we had a tag match, Jungle Hook versus the Firm's Matt Hardy and Ethan Page. Ethan Page is a hoot. I think Ethan Page is very, very funny. I've been keeping up with the stuff that he and Matt have been doing on Dark and Elevation. So seeing it finally get to TV, I was really hoping that Ethan Page was actually going to do the Hardy's entrance and do the banner, banner, banner that he's been doing. But we didn't get to see it. Instead, he cut off the Hardy's music and upset the fans, really got to play heel here. But look, Jungle Hook is a money combination. The fans love them. They were a huge ratings draw when we looked at the quarter hours on the match or on the show they had in LA. They were one of the highest drawing quarters. I think there's something about these two that's drawn people in.
I believe it. I knew that was gonna stick. As soon as I heard the moniker Jungle Hook, I was like, and then like not even midway through, immediately I started thinking, where is Luchasaurus?
He's injured. He was injured.
Oh, okay.
Luchasaurus was injured before Full Gear, but he held off on taking the time off until, because I believe the word was that he wanted to put over Jungle Boy in the cage match. Mm. And so he was going to do everything in his power to make sure that he could stay good enough, wrap it up enough for all of that so he could put over his dear friend in Jungle Boy, and then he's been off. But Luchasaurus is very hurt. And so that's the deal with him. I forget what the injury is. Chat, remind me. I think it's okay. So chat just said it was his arm/shoulder. And yeah, he took the time before he went, got the surgery to basically, yeah, him and Christian were hurt. Like it was like.
That explains. Okay.
Yeah, but he was hurt before Full Gear. And he basically taped it up, wrapped it up, and did everything he could to get through that match with Jungle Boy, put him over, and put a bow on that feud. And now Luchasaurus got to take some time to recover. So shout out Luchasaurus. That's right? Where he's at.
Heal up, rest up. In the meantime, we have good old Jungle Hook.
Yes, Jungle Hook. Fans are into it. And look, I like Hook. I think that Hook doesn't do much, but what he does is so clean and so smooth. And I just think that I want to see him keep doing that. Sorry, I have something on my nose. It's like itching and bogging me. But yeah, so Hook, again, he's doing what he does, and he continues to improve, and I want to see more of it. I thought Stokely was hilarious in the intro, by the way, telling, doing the Debo, and he posted it afterwards. He posted the Debo gif, telling Isaiah Cassidy to give him the chain and put it around his neck. I love Stokely.
Right? Oh my goodness. Everything just worked. That whole segment, it worked. It was just the funny. Everyone involved. It was well done. I thought it was well done. And Jungle Hook, yeah, they have something there. I hope they elongate that for as long as possible and not split them up, like, you know, really quickly. So keep Jungle Hook for a while, please.
And we got some super chats. David Reed says, Wardlow gonna powerbomb Joe through the ring next week.
We'd love to see it.
Brent Lockman says, am I crazy or did Ethan scream out the intro to Hardy's Monster Magnet theme prior to the Twist of Fate? He did. And Ethan Page is, again, Ethan Page is a fan at the end of the day, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And yeah, right before he did it, he gave an, oh yeah. And like, that was so good. I actually fell out of my seat. I love Ethan Page, and I think he's doing great stuff here. Chi-Town Spurs says Stokely and Isaiah are magic together. Hopefully we get to see this on TV more. Yeah. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, that was a good catch. He absolutely did do that. We then went to Family Therapy. Yeah. The Acclaimed and the Guns. Not to be confused with the Gun Club. Apparently the Gun Club has to include Billy. When it's just Austin and Colton, they are just the Guns. And you know what's interesting? They all made some good points here. The Guns did bring up how there would be no Acclaimed Billy Gunn Scissor Me Daddy ass relationship if it wasn't for them teaming together. And then after Anthony Bowens got hurt and they were working as a trio where it was Max Caster with the Guns for a little bit, and of course Anthony Bowens had to be in the wheelchair, that's where Scissor Me Daddy ass got over. That wasn't a bad point, actually. And I thought that Austin's line of our issues as sons are Billy's failures as a father were like, damn, that was pretty good. That was a good line. And Billy asked them, what do they want? And they said, the tag titles. There's a piece of me wondering if they're going to do it and just put the belts on the Guns. I was saying a couple weeks ago that I thought it's not a bad idea. Then I caught that promo from the Guns last week and I thought, ooh, maybe it is a bad idea. And now I'm thinking, I don't think FTR should be the ones to beat the Acclaimed. I don't want to see that because I think that's babyfaces taking thunder from other babyfaces. But I do think that if the plan is to put the belt on FTR one more time and give them the AEW title run that fans have been asking for, it's probably not a bad idea for them to get it from a couple of chicken shit heels who steal the belts from the other babyfaces. So in that sense, I don't mind it if it's basically a vehicle to resume things with the Guns and FTR.
What a quandary. Such a quandary, because it could go either way. I, like a lot of other fans, want to see FTR. It's hard. It's like, I love the Acclaimed, but you want to see FTR with those titles. But
yeah. I will say that, and I agree with what a lot of people are saying in the chat. Luis says, no way the Gun Family Therapy wouldn't have been better just ripping off the Simpsons. Give us shock buttons and foam bats. That would have been good. I was actually thinking, and somebody just brought it up, the Fresh Prince, the couples therapy with where the Jeffersons showed up. That one's very good. Chris Reigns said that line from Austin got a big reaction from the crowd. It was a good line.
Yeah.
That was one of the better lines we heard there. So yeah, I just feel like if there are plans surrounding FTR, and they plan on, because it didn't seem like the stuff with the guns was over, like it was finished. Like the literally last time FTR was referenced, it was the guns doing a funeral segment for FTR. They did the FTR IP stuff. I don't think they're done, and so I think that's probably where things are headed as far as transitioning the belts onto a couple of heels that FTR could then make some short work of. And what was next on the show? There's only actually a few more things to talk about. We got the announcement, Hangman versus Jon Moxley one-on-one next week, back in Dayton, Ohio. Brian Cage took on Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson, stop me if you've heard this one, is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. He is the, he is just so amazing at what he does. He is, I think, pound for pound, the best seller in the history of professional wrestling. There is nobody on Brian's level who sells like he does. And a good example of that was the story they were telling here. Okay, so somebody in the chat, Brent, said, did you call him the Groot? Look, I was about to say greatest of all time and then shortened it to GOAT and ended up saying Groot.
Because I was like, wait, what did you
I meant to, no, he is the GOAT. All right. It was me.
It's the GOAT.
Yeah. So, but he is the GOAT. Either way, Bryan Danielson, greatest seller to ever do this. And here's a good example. The story they were telling of this match, of course, was that Brian Cage was to take out Bryan Danielson's arm by any means. As MJF told him, I don't care if you win or lose the match, but take care of that man's arm. The way Brian was selling all of the damage to his arm from Brian Cage, so much so, like Brian just thinks about the little things, like the way he went for to do the head stomp that he normally does. And he grabbed Brian Cage's arms to do it. But in that sense, he starts clutching his own arm. As if to say, like, I don't have the strength to pull this off. Great stuff. And the way he sold it in the beating afterward. What did you think of this match?
You know, what's funny about that is that I was not able to watch the entire match. I saw the ending of it. And I remember I saw, you know, he was clutching his shoulder and his arm. And I was like, wait, I texted a friend. I was like, wait, what just happened? Is he okay? Is he really hurt? Like, I was so concerned. I was like, what's going on? What's going on? And my friend was like, calm down. It's okay. It's going to be okay. But you're absolutely right. The fact that I didn't even watch the entire match and saw the end and I was just still riveted. I was like, this guy, you know what, just keep him here for as long as you possibly can. I love it. You could tell he's happy being there. He's doing amazing work. I'm like, I want to see more of this. Give me that soap opera storyline. Just keep it going. Just keep it going. Yeah. Whatever you have to do.
I love it. And I loved, like I said, I loved his selling. I loved kind of just everything he was doing here. Yeah. And this led, of course, to a really great backstage segment where Renee tries to catch up with him. And she asked Doc Samson about his shoulder. And Brian, again, if you don't... It's not so much, when I say Brian is the greatest of all time, the reason I say this is because there's nothing Brian Danielson is bad at. When you, like, even when WWE tried to introduce him, they were like, well, he doesn't have mic skills or charisma. Fuck that. Brian Danielson is one of the best talkers, and he is a believable talker. And when they put that mic in front of him, and he just starts going off about the fact that if he said, you know, it's a partial tear, then that means I'm still good to go. You give me whatever. And of course, it's going to be Timothy Thatcher next week. Oh, my God. But Brian, the way he was going off on Doc Samson and then turns to the camera and goes off on MJF, just amazing, amazing stuff. And MJF was great here too. We had to sit down with MJF, and MJF talked about how when he made the announcement that it's going to be Timothy Thatcher. I think MJF is showing some depth here. I know people say he's done the final boss stuff before, but it's a piece of his character. And it's become a big piece of who he is. And I thought MJF here really got to remind us and show us what he's made of. I'm very much looking forward to how this concludes. I keep seeing people in the chat asking, where is Swerve? Where is Swerve?
Good question.
Good question that I have an answer to, but I'm not going to spoil. So just keep watching. But just know that Revolution is going to pay off a lot of what we've seen from Swerve and that's still the plan. And as far as the, well, then we had two more matches. Yes. Two more matches we got to talk about. Ruby Soho versus Toni Storm. This was originally supposed to be a three-way. Instead, we had a one-on-one match. And Ruby Soho versus Toni Storm saw... And we had backstage promos during both entrances to kind of tell us where both stand. Where, you know, Toni Storm didn't understand why Ruby Soho was taking the side of these homegrown talents, when you're from where I'm from. And, Ruby was like, yeah, I have your background, but I didn't truly find myself. I didn't find where I wanted to be till I was here in AEW, and this is my home. And I like that. I like that Ruby has a little bit that's kind of tearing her apart, that she does feel. That's what I said I wanted to see, was Ruby Soho be kind of the centerpiece of, yeah, she's got the WWE background, but also AEW, it has really given her an identity that she didn't really have before. So therefore, which one is it? Ruby versus Toni Storm here. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I liked Toni really playing up the heel stuff, especially after she took the headbutt from Ruby Soho and then really started playing on the referee sympathies until... but she was just playing possum. But Britt Baker's music hit. Britt Baker distracting Toni Storm, allowing Ruby to get the victory. I didn't think Ruby was just going to outright get a victory here, but she did.
Yeah, same. And then I'm like, did I miss something? Because where was she? Was Shida? Did they end that?
No, Shida's just not there this week. She's actually in Japan right now as we speak. So still going. That was just... last week, obviously, they did the stuff with Shida. This week, no real follow-up, but she is also literally, as we speak, in Japan.
Gotcha.
But finally. Jay Lethal took on Mark Briscoe. We had Ian Riccaboni, Caprice Coleman on commentary. This was emotional. Jay Lethal made me really lose it, but honestly, I think I couldn't keep it together when Mark Briscoe came out with both belts, and he was announced still as one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, because as far as we're concerned, the Briscoes are still the Tag Team Champions. The way these two put on a match that was clearly made as a tribute to Jay Briscoe was just beautiful. The table spot, the Jay Driller, everything about this. Bobby Cruz. But this just felt like an homage to Ring of Honor. But in feeling like an homage to Ring of Honor, it felt like an homage to Jay Briscoe, who has been an absolute piece of Ring of Honor. Literally, and I'm glad they referenced this too, they're Ring of Honor Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. The Briscoes are. Of course Jay got the victory. Of course he got it with... not Jay. Of course Mark got the victory with the Jay Driller. Of course he did. He beat Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal makes his way out of the ring. He makes his way up the ramp. And he joins the rest of the roster who are all out there. We saw the Young Bucks. We saw Samoa Joe. We saw so many Ring of Honor guys, so much AEW talent, just so much talent in general on that ramp, showing their love for Jay Briscoe. Mark, getting to talk to the camera, told Jay he loved him, told the family loved him. This was great stuff. What did you think?
I mean, it's just, I can understand why some people thought it was bittersweet, because it took, unfortunately, Jay's passing for this to, you know, for Mark to step into the ring. But for the fact of it being a tribute to Jay and just the Briscoe brothers' legacy, it was, and I tweeted, I said it was beautiful. It just, from the moment we saw Jay Lethal come down that ramp, and he could barely hold it together. He was crying, and it was just, I just tipped my hat off to both for them being able to even put on the match under these circumstances and to be able to perform. And at the end, like you said, just seeing Mark and what he was saying to his family and to Jay, and seeing him go up that ramp with those belts and everyone in the back, it was super emotional. And I'm really happy that he was able to do it for his brother, and to be able, that they were able to pull everything off, you know, that Tony Khan was able to do this and have this happen. And I couldn't have thought of a better way that this tribute could have gone. And then also to have Ian and Caprice on commentary, just pulling everything together with what they were saying and pulling people in, that was extraordinary. They did a fabulous job. It just was so quintessentially Ring of Honor, and it was great. Absolutely fantastic. I really, by the end of it, I was like, I had tears in my eyes. It was just, it was beautiful. It was really,
it really was
lovely and just well done.
Very happy well done.
On TV. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad we got it on TV. I'm probably, like I said, I'm going to watch the tribute show. I'll probably put that on just in the background today. Jay Briscoe. I like I said, I still can't believe he's gone. But I'm really glad he got to be honored in that way. And I'm glad they got to go off the air paying tribute to him. And AEW ratings are in. How'd the show do? The fans turned out for it. We have AEW Dynamite was back over 1 million this week. It did 1,003,000 viewers, which was good for a 0.32 rating. This was the highest rating since October 5th, which was also the last time the show did over 1 million. It was ranked number 3, only behind the 2 NBA games on ESPN. This show did great, and I think it deserved to. I think that I've really been happy with Dynamite's January, and it's been a good month. I hate that it had to end on the note it ended on. I also have one really important question, and I hope AEW thinks to answer this eventually, which is, why didn't the Blackpool Combat Club help Brian? What's up with them?
Great point.
So that's all.
Great point. I wonder, if that has to do with Regal's leaving, and perhaps even so. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, I mean, there is a point they could address there of like, hey, Regal betrayed the group, but Brian has been the only one who stuck by Regal through it all. Do they feel that Regal, I mean, do they feel a little slighted by Brian?
Very true.
Why did the Blackpool Combat Club not help? I want to read these last few super chats, and then I got to get out of here and pick my son up from school. Let's see. We've got, I think I read every super chat. And so I want to get to the last of the Humper Chats, which... let's see. This one is from Van Twin Blade, and it's actually kind of funny. So I'm going to read this, but it says, says, "Dearest Chi-Town Spurs, your insult to my home yesterday did not go unnoticed. I must now respond. You dress like Humpty. Kindest regards, Van." And Pavlo with the last one saying, "Love that we're getting a nuanced Ruby story instead of the outdated all outsiders are automatically with the outsider heel group. Buddy in action reminded me I need House of Black to do more. Fantasy book Adam's Adam Cole Bebe's face first feud." Oh, I get it. Adam Bebe face is what he called him. His first feud. Like I said, I would like to see Ethan Page. I think that that's kind of a good one to go over the first time. That's that one. But anyway, we got to go, folks. Thank you for being here for another edition of Day After Dynamite. Candace, make some plugs.
Yes, please. So everyone, first and foremost, if you have not signed your copy of PWI, you can go to pwi-online.com for the latest and greatest. A lot of great content on there, including, of course, our year in review and the awards, all the lovely awards. I'm Candace Cordelia. You can follow me on Twitter at Candace Cordelia right there on the screen. I'm also on Insta at ThatGirlCandace16. I hope to hear from you. Feel free to send a message, say hi. I don't bite. And thanks for tuning in. This was awesome.
Yes, thank you, everybody who tuned in. I'm literally about to leave and go pick up my son. I have my car keys. I put my coat on. I have to go pick this little boy up from school. So thank you, Candace. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been Day After Dynamite. I'm Will Washington. We'll see you next time, and have a great day. Peace.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.